The time of resurrection will not come until Muslims will fight the Jews, until the Jews hide behind rocks and trees, which will cry, "Oh Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." That last quote comes from the scriptures in the Quran and the words of the prophet Muhammad. Do you understand that it is not land for peace? And we're almost done with this article. The expressed aim of Hamas and Hezbollah to the north and their offshoots isn't just to banish Israelis from Israel. It is to kill Jews, plain and simple. And finally, an insurgent Islam is once again on the move. It is not difficult to ascertain that the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is just one battle in a religious war being fought by Muslim zealots throughout the world. In defeating Islam at the Battle of Tours in 732, that's when Charles Martel stopped the advance of Islam from taking over Europe. Charles Martel recognized this. Hopefully, before it's too late, Western leaders will see it as well today. Well, that's not Bible stuff, Steve. It absolutely is Bible stuff. It absolutely is Bible stuff. Be taught, be well read, because coming across your screens is going to be the biased media trying to point the finger at the bullies of the Israelis, shelling perhaps and potentially, we hope not, but potentially injuring and harming innocent civilians. Gaza, the Gaza Strip down to the south, was the centuries-long capital of what group of people? Can you remember? The Philistines. Genetically, you can't really connect the current-day Palestinians to that. But certainly, ideologically, they are every bit the Philistines coming against God's heart, God's people, God's land, and God's purpose. So what are we supposed to do? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And can we do so right now? In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to see through the white noise of biased reporting. And may we see, Lord God, your hand and your heart. And may we be people in the name of Jesus, Lord, who whenever you prompt us, will quickly lift up Jerusalem, quickly pray for the people, the men and women who defend her. It is the only true democracy in the region, and frankly, America's very best and most trusted ally. May we not, in Jesus' name, turn our back on Israel. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Is that helpful, you guys? Yes. You know, I think, praise God. Praise God. Revelation chapter 14. We'll only get the first couple of verses, okay? I want to show you three angels, you guys. The first angel, he's going to preach. The second angel, he's going to prophesy. And the third angel, he is going to plead. Chapters 12 and 13 in the book of Revelation, what was that about? Destroying the deceived. We're going to call that today Team Babylon. Chapter 14, verse 6. The first five verses we looked at last week, and that was a joyous celebration. Even in the midst of great tribulation, you have a choice. You can be sorryful, that's if you reject Jesus, or you can be a singer if you understand that God is moving. Verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, middle of the day, high noon, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. There's another wind of doctrine blowing through the church these days. Every couple years it does so. This one is called dominion theology. It's not new, but it has been enjoying a great resurgence, especially through a group of people called the Emergent Church Movement. They say that the church is responsible to take the gospel to the whole world, else Jesus can't return. And that opens the door for what some have called the social gospel of works. Let's go all over the world and do socially cool things. Water wells where water is needed, medical and so on. By all means, do so. Don't tell them plainly about the gospel. Let them get so appreciative of all you're doing for them that they'll go, well, tell me about why you do what you do. That's when you tell them the gospel. But be careful not to scare them off. Well, how do you scare them off? When you tell them that sin kills. And we are all very much sinners. And no amount of doing good can offset that. For those who are trying to be sensitive to the felt needs of the people, the emergent church doesn't want to spook anybody. In fact, they're telling people, don't put crosses in your churches. Don't talk about sin and don't talk about death and hell, okay? Don't do that. You'll scare off the non-believers. Dominion theology. The church has got to go all over the world. Chapter 14, at the midpoint of the book of Revelation, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every tribe, every nation, every tongue, and every people. Yes, by all means, go out, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But who does the real weight of responsibility to take the gospel to the world belong to? The church or our God? Those people who say, the church has to do it, please remember this verse. The gospel will, in fact, go to every corner of the earth. Amen? Let's keep cruising. Verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. And I wrote in my Bible, what a witness. An angel is flying across the sky. How many of you would go, well, I'm in. But most of the Christ-rejecting, God-hating world says, no. Seriously, an angel flying across the sky? Don't forget, demons have a no-fly zone over all the earth. We saw that back in chapters 12 and 13. God remands them right to the surface of the earth. So all these angels have an unobstructive flight plan. Some people have said, I believe, Pastor Steve, in the gospel, if only God would show me an angel. Here it is. It's not because angels can't make a good enough case for believing in Jesus Christ and escaping eternal judgment. It's because the Bible says men in their wicked hearts, they rejected the light because their deeds were evil. The first angel preaching the gospel, and most of the world rejects him. Verse 8, here comes angel number 2. And another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, is fallen, is fallen, is fallen. What's the matter? We got a skip on the record here? We point that out with an exclamation. Remember that? Exclamation for excitement or emotion. Any school rock fans in here? I reverted back to 1972. They would say it, and if it was really important, they would say it again. Babylon is, notice the verb tense, is present. We're not going to actually see the physical falling of Babylon until we get to Revelation 17 and 18. Why does the Bible do this? The Bible is basically saying it is so certain God thinks of it as already happening. Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What is Babylon? We're going to see that it may and very likely will be a physical city, an economic center. It is a spiritual juggernaut that began on the plains of Shinar by Nimrod. Remember what Nimrod's name means? I will rebel. He founds Babylon. It has been said that the Bible is the tale of two cities. Jerusalem, God's city, and the anti-city, Babylon. Everything that is not God, team Babylon. So spiritualism, smoking dope, because it will make you spiritually enlightened. I said it before, I'm from Northern California, Redding, where a lot of things wild grow. If you know what I'm talking about. When I got saved in early 1980, I remember people would say, well, man, you know, we get to smoke dope because cannabis, man, it's like natural. And all of God's herbs are natural. And our pastor, Pastor Bird at the time said, well, I hear that. But remember, a little thing called the fall has happened. Poison oak is natural. I wouldn't recommend you smoke it. Babylon has fallen. It has fallen. Team Babylon, what is it? The worldly, economic, spiritual system that the devil has invented. And he's always promoting it. It is totally going down. LeBron James left Cleveland, broke their hearts, and went to take his talents to South Beach. And for the last 4 years, that's where he's been. Well, now he's a free agent. So for the last, what is it, week or so, the talk shows and the sports guys are going crazy. What team is LeBron going to play for? Number one, I don't care. It begs the question and puts our situation perhaps in more stark relief, more clear focus. You're kind of like a free agent, you know. You kind of are. And you got Team Babylon saying, come play for us. We could really use you. What is Team Babylon? It's going to lose. Team Babylon, well, what you got? Well, we got sin. I like that. Or we have this spiritual thing that just does this, you know, mesmerizes you. Okay, yeah, meditation, spiritualism, crystal balls, occultism, casting spells, all that Harry Potter stuff. This angel is prophesying, it is going down. Babylon is fallen. And if you didn't hear me the first time, it's fallen. Why would you want to play for Team Babylon? Because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What team are we going to play for? Now verse 9. Now the third angel. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, we looked at that in chapter 13, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Whoa, 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 angel number three. That's not very seeker-friendly stuff. Loved one, with great respect, I would be doing you a great disservice if you sat in a Bible study at Harvest Family Fellowship and I didn't tell you that a very real location exists. Hell. Whoa, 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 say the Team Babylon people. God is love. He would never put me in a place such as hell. God is love, but love has a choice, right? We have a law against that in our country. If you try to love someone and they don't want you to love them, well, you can get arrested for that. He has to judge sin. That is ravaged. Go ahead, get the chuckle out. Go ahead. I landed on planet Earth. I've been very public. I taught and I got on a cross and died and paid for all of your sin. You don't have to go to hell. People will go there if they're not Christians. Why? Because they refuse his free gift. He paid the price. He made the way. He empowers your faith if you choose him. Yet those playing for Team Babylon will reject God's narrow way. You Christians are too narrow. We are self-ascending people. We save ourselves. And God says, nice try, humans, but none of you can save yourselves. I reject the gospel. Then you are rejecting the God of the Bible. You're rejecting all that the true God is. He is love. He is light. He is order. He is purpose. He is belonging. He is goodness and purity, peace and joy, trust, fulfillment, and completion. Who doesn't want that? Now remember, if you're rejecting God because God is love, that won't be in hell. Instead of light, you're going to get darkness. Instead of order, you're going to be chaos, fear, and uncertainty. Instead of purpose, futility and aimlessness. Instead of belonging, because God made you to belong, you're going to get separation And instead of being good, only concentrated evil. Because God is peace and security. You're going to expect violence in hell. Let's take a quick inventory. Rejection, darkness, separation, chaos, fear, pain, futility, longing, concentrated evil, unending violence. That's what hell is. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. You don't get off at 5. You don't have 2 weeks off vacation a year. It never, ever, ever, ever stops. Why would God make such a place? It wasn't intended for human. It was intended for fallen angels. Verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints, and here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember, the first angel was preaching. The second angel was prophesying. What about this third angel? He's pleading. Please, please don't play for Team Babylon. Verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord this last 3.5 years of the great tribulation from now on. God doesn't allow your team status to be hidden at this point. If you're playing for Team Babylon, it will show. And if you're playing for Team Jesus, you will be sticking out like a sore thumb. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Keep an eye towards heaven, you guys. No matter what Team Babylon is trying to taunt you with, may you not fall to it. May you not succumb to its reasonings. May we keep our eyes on him. I got to take you one more place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll end here. There is a place called hell. It is very, very real. Paul knew about this. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look down there to verse number 9. Chapter 6, look down there to verse number 9. Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And there are so many people who truly believe that their good works have outweighed their bad works. And that gets me a ticket to heaven. No. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. What's that? That's sex outside of marriage. Well, can we slice it up a little more liberal than that? Nah. If you're not married, no sex for you. But we're engaged. There's reasons for that. God isn't a cosmic killjoy. Amen? How many of you love a fire? A good fire in your fireplace? Hearth and home and a cup of coffee. You take that same fire, just move it out 3 feet. Place it in the middle of the room. And that once beautiful warmth can burn the house down. Sex is powerful. It's supposed to be. He invented it. But it has to be within the safety of the commitment of, I will never leave you or forsake you, the man says to the woman. Because remember how women and men are wired differently? Guys are all, I love you, baby. And what they really want is what? And gals, what have you sort of wired for? You are wired to be a responder. You're supposed to respond to a man of God who will honor you. In that confusion, girls will oftentimes give sex because they hope they're going to get love. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. If you are married and you're goofing around in sexual things that aren't marriage, you too. Nor homosexuals nor sodomites. Oh, no, he didn't. God loves sinners. It's the sin that he hates. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. You know what reviling is? It's gossip. It's tearing down somebody else. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. How many of you could raise your hand on a couple of those? But you were washed. But you were sanctified, set apart. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Write in your margin here at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Write Galatians 5, 19 through 20. And then write Ephesians 5, verse 5. There's a whole lot of churches out there who are just grateful that humans are showing up to their services, because they're going to go into the wallet and help us continue to finance this huge empire that we believe is important. God could care less about this building. He could care less about programs. What he wants is for every single human heart to hear clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ and give their heart to him. And when people are going to churches and they never hear this stuff, how is the sinner then going to understand, hey, wait a minute, that guy's talking about me? Would you join me in prayer? Me, a Christian, will at times succumb to some of these things. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said it's the people who practice these things. The angel flying across the sky preaching, the angel flying across the sky prophesying, the angel flying across the sky pleading was very clear. If you're not playing for Team Jesus, you are playing for Team Babylon. Would you search your soul here this morning? Come to find out, I love sleeping with my girlfriend. Come to find out, I love going partying and getting high. I love jabbing and tearing at people. Oh, you might be in this category. You might not be saved. In Jesus' name, now it is your turn, Holy Spirit, to come upon this group of people, Lord. Oh, permeate our hearts. And would you, Lord, bring the righteous, loving conviction of a parent who loves their sons and daughters. And knock on the door of any heart in this room who has not really and truly given their lives to you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're not even sure, and frankly, you got busted today because the word said to you, look what you're doing. And a big part of you says, and I don't want to stop. The day is coming when you're going to have to stand before God. Will you be standing in Christ? When the Father looks at you and the Son says, I got him, Dad. Or will you be standing in your own merit? Because you prayed 57 jillion Hail Marys or Our Fathers. Or you jump through whatever, the five pillars of Islam. Or in fact, you're saying, you know, I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm not against Jesus. I'm just, well, not playing for his team. Then you are playing for Team Babylon. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day to do it. Would you raise your hand and say, I need Jesus Christ, and I want to be absolutely certain I'm in his kingdom. Christians praying. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, then say this. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you everything that I am. Forgive me of my sin. I want to play for Team Jesus. Let them start picking up the uniform. Get the playbook, which is the Bible. And get in fellowship, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And let them find, Lord, the gloriousness of finally finding what their purpose really is. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.